a difficult Gemara, and just when you start a sugya in the beginning and you see a lot of things coming at you, it's sometimes very difficult to sort it out. So the first step is simply to identify what's difficult, to understand the nuances of what's difficult, and just pointing it out is itself the first step in trying to break through a sugya. What's the case? What are the issues? And what is the Gemara trying to say? Amar Chia Bar Ashi, past Numa Bekaara, Vivarach and Aleh Halos. Past Numa Bekaara. What exactly is this? Rashi says, past Numa Yevesha, Shenasna Bekaara Lishros. So what does tenuma mean according to Rashi? That it's dried out, very hard. And since it's hard, so you put it in a dish to soak. You put it with water to soften it. V'chein tenumos dakos. The pasuk by the Chalom of Paro describing the Shibolim. Paro describes them as tenumos dakos. So what would it mean according to Rashi? Dried. Hard. This is in fact how Rashi learns the pasuk in Parshas Miketz.
Is it stale?
You could say stale, but what about stale? The fact that stale, not that the fact that it's stale as much as that it's hard. What is the characteristic of being stale? It's hard. Yeah. Usually that's what happens. It gets hard, it gets stale. I don't know the exact literal definition of stale. What? If you look in the dictionary, what would it be? Stale. Would it say hard, or would it say it's... I don't know, but we know what we're talking about, right? Okay. That's what Rashi says in Chumash also. Rashi says that the word, in fact, the etymology of sunumos is milashon, like in Targum, sunma, like you have the Gemara in Baba Basra and Eliyahu, sunma is, other places is mafsik. It's like a stone, hard, stony part that's mafsik between one side and the other. So sunma is sela. Stone, hard. So that's what Rashi says in Chumash. Tenumos dakos. Sunma b'loshen arami sela harei hein ke'etz v'li lechluach. There's no moisture left. The kashos kesela. So according to Rashi, doesn't say anything here about the fact that the bread was cut into pieces or anything at all. It doesn't say that. It's the fact that the bread was hard and it was brittle, and then you put it into the water, and now obviously now it's going to get soft, now it's going to get obviously very brittle, and it's going to obviously fall apart very easily. You probably will put your hand in it and touch it, next thing you know it's falling apart. But meanwhile, before you touch it, it can look very much intact. I mean, it was hard, and now it's soaking, but it hasn't fallen apart yet until anyone will put their hand on it. Probably won't take much to make it fall apart. This is how Rashi seems to define the case. Yeah, however, from the other Rishonim, it would appear that they define Sinuma very differently, and this is clear from the Ramban himself in Chumash, when the Ramban disagrees with Rashi on the word Sinumos Dakos. The Ramban says that which Rashi says, that snumos miloshin siluos, like it's a stone, miloshin sunma enu nachum. Hashibolim hadakos enum kashos kesela. It's not a good way to describe them. It's not like you could say that the stalks that were thin are hard like a rock. Rather, what is the meaning of the pasuk snumos? Perudos lachatichos harbe. It means that it's very cut up to many, many pieces, separated. Separated. The Hulashan Rabbi Seinu Pas Hatsenuma Bekaara Mevarchin Aleh Hamotzi. Says the Ramban, Pas Hachatucha. In other words, it's cut up. And the Ramban goes on and gives you more of a picture. So right away we have a disagreement in touching the words here in the Gemara. Pas Tsenuma Bekaara for Rashi means it's hard, and then it gets put into the dish to soak, and according to the Ramban, and I think from the other Rishonim as well, you see the Rashban, The other Rishonim here, apparently they also understood Sanuma means Chatucha. But then the Ramban says further. So now, okay, so it's cut up. So now what? So it's in the dish. Is there anything else in the dish? Okay. Rashi says there was water in the dish. The bread was dry, stale, and then it was put into the water. According to the Ramban, it was cut up. And then the Ramban says, you make chatichos v'nosin hamarak alav b'ka'ara. And you spilled some broth, some gravy on it. And then you're eating it piece by piece, but you never actually did a formal cutting afterwards. Because you didn't basically cut it all up, and now you have your soup with it. Then there's another possibility, in terms of picturing the case. According to Rashi, it was whole, but it was hard, and now it's got softened by the water. And it's sitting there in the water, kind of in one piece, but on the verge of falling apart. That's Rashi's picture. According to the Ramban, it's been cut up already, and then you put it into the dish, and you have this broth on top of it. And you're going to eat it, basically, piece by piece. Another possibility is that you put it into this dish, whole, and then you pour hot water into the dish, which then basically makes it, crumble, fall apart, and makes it into pieces, turns into pieces. And that's how the Ramban himself quotes from the Gaonim here in Chiddush Ramban, and I think from the Balamor, I think I gave you the Balamor, but the Balamor brings this shot as well, that the issue has to do with the question of a klisheni. It's a ka'ara has a characteristic in that it's a dish that you can have, it can have some heat, it can contain heat. And let's imagine you pour mayim roschim into this dish, and then it becomes sanum as a result. In other words, it doesn't have to have been stale or hard to begin with, as Rashi says, because it's not interpreting sanumos as, or sanuma as dry. Rather, the Ramban here quotes Kasav Hagon, the Hu Klisheni, the Ka'ar is a Klisheni, Shenosim Mesalechem L'toch Mayim Roschim. The point is that you put the bread into boiling water, Mutsakim Beka'ar. What's Mutsakim? Yatsak? What's the Mutsakim? Poured, spilled, like we call that Irui, right? Okay, there's question technically in Hebrew is Kli Rishon is exactly the same as Kli Sheni. At least for these purposes, we're assuming it's the same thing as Kli Sheni. The fact that you're pouring it afterwards into a dish, so it's not really like it's going right into a Kli Rishon. Well, actually, it could be two possibilities. Okay, he gives you two scenarios. Either Kli Sheni. In other words, that the dish already had the water that was poured into it. So now clearly it's a straightforward klisheni, and now you're putting the bread into the klisheni. And then after you put the bread first in the dish, then you pour the hot water, the boiling water, on it. Either way, the yisha, it remains in this boiling water of a ka'ara ad sheyimoach. So what does the soaking, the hot water do, basically? It creates the splitting of the bread. Basically, it begins to split apart into slices, small pieces, small slices. So again, what's the definition of tsunuma here? Not that the bread is hard, as Rashi says, but it becomes split, like the Ramban says in Chumash. The only difference is that the Ramban says that first, what did you do in Chumash? What does he say? First, you split it up, then you put it into a dish, and then you put some marak on it. And the Gaonim is saying that you put it into a dish that already has the hot water, you pour the hot water afterwards, and then that creates the effect that the bread begins to split up. Okay. These are all variations of the case. Now, at the end of the day, there's a chidush here. That is that you make hamotzi. What's the chidush that you make hamotzi? What? Why would you think you would make hamotzi? Why should you make hamotzi? So again, this is something that the Rishonim all raise as a question. But of course, we have to keep in mind that there is, of course, a discussion earlier of what happens if you have bread, can it lose the shem lechem? And what would it take to take away the shem lechem for hamotzi? And maybe that's what's going on over here on some level. We had the discussion of pirurim. We had the case of chavitza. If you have bread and you cook it. So we saw that that depends on what? If you make hamotzi, it depends on if you have the brisa tachna fal bishcha. Let's imagine you cook bread. So then you have to, the question is if it's prusas kayamos or ain't prusas kayamos. That was the brisa on Amid Aleph. Prusas kayamos. And then we had a discussion by chavitza, which could mean either cooked or could mean, as Tosas would have it, that there's marak. And it's stuck together with some sort of a marak or some other liquid, something that sticks, and the pieces are small, and they're stuck together. And the question there also comes up if you make hamotzi. And what are some of the variables as far as defining whether you make hamotzi, to determine if you make hamotzi? What are some of the variables that we saw? Prusas kayamos could mean anything. It can mean that if you pick it up, it would all fall apart. Is it totally dissolved? Tosas says if you pick it up, it would break. That's one possible variable. Define it. Another variable. What else? Two other things. What? Teresa de Nahama. Does it have the appearance of bread? That's what the Gemara ends up saying, that really, even if there's no kezayis, Teresa de Nahama is sufficient to create, to preserve the Shem Lechem. And then, of course, there's the question of kezayis. Now, within does kezayis ultimately play any role at the end of the Gemara? Because the Gemara says that maskana, that Rav Sheshet says that even without pirun and kezayis, you make hamotzi if there's Teresa de Nahama, as Rava adds. So what about kezayis? So we saw in that sugya, yes, because it could be that this is talking, there's not bishul. But if there's bishul, then already the question is not one of Teresa de Nahama, but rather one of kezayis. Oh, so given all of that, how can that possibly impact on these possible these very scenarios that we just mentioned? Well, in Rashi, just as you put it into water to soak. No, it's not necessarily cooked, but it's being soaked. But still, we have to wonder, does it have Teresa de Nahama? If there's bread that's now falling apart, it's soaked in water, so does it have Teresa de Nahama? And does it need Teresa de Nahama? So what do you say about that? Does it need Teresa de Nahama, an appearance of bread, if it's soaked? Well, we did see something. We saw something about this. I know anyone who didn't learn this before is at a big disadvantage right now. I apologize. But we have this pointed out. We'll get through this. But there was the Tosas I mentioned, the David Mimitz. What would he do at night? He would take pirurin and soak them overnight and eat them the next day without having to make a motzi and bench, because as long as he saw that the whiteness of the bread went into the water, that means that the bread lost its Teresa de Nahama. So what do you see? That Teresa de Nahama is a requirement when you have bread that's soaking, pirurin that's soaking. Now, we saw that many Rishonim assume at the end of the sugya, the Rabbeinu Yonah says that if you don't have a case of bishul and you don't have a case of marak, but it's simply what? Finely ground that's imatzamil. So what does he say? And the rest of Rabbeinu Yonah say the same thing, reiterate that what? You don't need technically Teresa de Nahama, because bread is bread is bread. So how do you deal with the fact that Tosfos brings up David Mimitz and says that you need Teresa de Nahama in the case where it's soaked? Well, you could say one of two possibilities. Again, this is all chazara. Either Tosfos doesn't necessarily accept that there's a distinction between if it's with marak or cook as opposed to if it's simply ground. Tosfos would say you always need Teresa de Nahama. Tosfos is only two categories, not three. Maybe bishul is one category and then you have the rest, which is Teresa de Nahama. Bishul is totally in kezayis, and everything else is totally in Teresa de Nahama, perhaps. And therefore, Tosas would require Teresa de Nahama all the time, and that's why Rav David felt, in that case, you could make mizonos. One possibility. The difficulty with that is what? The difficulty with that is that Rabbeinu Yonah says that there are three categories. Namely, if it's not bishul, and it's not soaked, and it's not stuck together with some sort of a liquid, so then it's automatically hamotzi, even if it's small, particles are so small that you can't say has Teresa de Nahama. That's quoted in Shulchan Aruch. And what else is quoted in Shulchan Aruch? What else? this case of the soaking of davening mitzvah is quoted in Shulchan Aruch as well. So how does that square with the fact that if you have matzah meal, or you know the bread is bread is ground so fine that it's not necessarily looking like bread yet, you make hamotzi, and yet it says if it's soaked, it requires three seed in the hamas. So obviously you have to equate Sharia with whatever case it may be, bishul or just having the marak here. It's not stam, it's being soaked, so now it requires three seed in the hamas as well. So these are the possibilities in terms of how Tosis could say you need three seed in the hamas in a case like that. Okay, so back to the cases over here. So if you want to ask ourselves why you might not make hamotzi in pasuk nu bekara, separate from, you know, get to all the other considerations about vis-a-vis something else and whatever, just for itself. So right away you have to bring up the possibility of teresa din hama. Maybe it doesn't have teresa din hama. Maybe you need teresa din hama. So within Rashi's case, so we saw already the Tosis earlier, Rav David Nimitz, required teresa din hama in a case which is in a sense identical to that of Rashi. Although, again, Rashi is talking about when you put it in whole when it was hard, and Rabbi Nimitz talked about putting in, Rav David Nimitz talked about putting in small pieces. But bottom line is, he required teresa din hama, and if you say you don't have teresa din hama, then maybe you wouldn't make hamotzi. Maybe that's the chiddush, you make hamotzi anyway. Good, that's within Rashi. One could speculate. We don't know that Rashi means this, but just at least we know that there's such an issue. According to in the Ramban's case, in Chumash, that what you took small pieces, snuma means it was cut up into small pieces, and what, and then you put it into a dish and then you put soup on. So now, in terms of what, in terms of the question of the sugis earlier, what's there to consider? Again, Teresa din hama. Now this is a case of marak, which is where Rabbeinu Yonah says that you need Teresa din hama. Because the Ramban says it was with marak, it was with soup. So again, so you have to figure out, does it have teresa din hama? And if it does, then you make hamotzi. If it doesn't, you don't make hamotzi. Pashtus. But again, then you have to know, then why would it say you make hamotzi? Manafshach. If it's teresa din hama, then obviously you make hamotzi. If it doesn't have teresa din hama, then you shouldn't make hamotzi. So then, what does it come down to? Certainly we have to recognize that there's a factor here that you have to consider of teresa din hama. Okay, so you have to know what is the normal situation of our Gemara. Is it teresa or is it not? But clearly the issue speaks to that issue. There's a relationship. Whether or not the chidush is defined in terms of that issue, I will say, whether the chidush of Rabbi Barashi is defined in terms of that issue. But that issue, teresa din hama, has to play a role in terms of justifying making hamotzi, right, according to the Ramban's case. Indeed, the Rach says that the case has to be that it's teresa din hama. Now, it's ironic that those of you who got to the Rosh and Rabbeinu Yonah, they ask on the Rach, no, you don't need teresa din hama. Why not? Because they hold, Rabbeinu Yonah l'shitasa, remember, and the Rosh also quoted that before, that if it's simply bread that's ground up into small pieces, I don't care how small, I don't care if they're not a kezayis, you make a motzi because it doesn't lose a shem lechem and you don't need teresa din hama. So they argue on the Rach. But the Rach is interested in the hama. But the truth is, if you look in the Rach, so what does that mean? Does that mean that the Rach argues on the Rabbeinu Yonah before the three categories, and the Rach holds that even if nothing was added, there's no marak or anything, you still need teresa din hama? Possibly. But if you look in the Rach himself, what do you notice? Why did the Rach say? Now, I don't have a Rach in my Gemara. Does anyone have a Rach on the bottom of their Gemara? Some Gemaras, the new ones, have the Rach on the bottom. What? Yeah, does anyone have that Gemara? Okay, the Seder. If anyone has that Gemara, you can read me what the Rach says on the bottom of the Amud. Yeah? See ya? Take a look. The Rach gives us, anticipate what we're going to say. So what is the Rach going to say? What's the case? It's in Marak. It's in Marak. No, not there. If you look, you'll find the Rach at some point, right? Homework, okay? You'll find the Rach. You'll find the Gemara with the Rach. You'll see the Rach. Dafka says that the case is a case where it was with Marak. So Lamaisa, at the end of the day, there's not necessarily a machlokes here in Din that if you have simply bread that's ground up very fine, Do you need to respond to make a motzi? The Rach is not talking about that case. The Rach assumes the case is Ademar, as we saw already in the Ramban and Chumash. But again, that doesn't answer the question of what the Chiddush is. It just means that we have to deal with the case and figure out, you know, what is the case? Is it to Isnam or is it not? Because L'chori, you should need to receive the Nahama here. If you hold it as Aydei Marak, at least. Okay, finally, the case that we mentioned from the Ramban, B'Shem HaGaonim. So what consideration has to come up over here? So here perhaps is another consideration that should be considered. Here we're talking possibly about what principle. If it's in a dish of hot water, then we have to deal with bishul. Now bishul possibly has what din? The halacha, what do we hold? Pasach mevushal, prusus kayamos. How do we define it? How does the halacha say? As the Ben Yonah say, the three categories. What's required? Kizayis. If it's tsnuma, it gets so cut up and dissolved as a result of the hot water, yom kizayis, then already you have to consider the fact that maybe you don't make a motzi because it's in prusus kayamos. But then again, so then how could it say that you make hamotzi?
That's not bishul.
The answer is because it's not bishul. Why isn't it bishul? It's kishen. So that is what you'll look, if you look in the Balamor, that's what he says. He says that the issue of why you make hamotzi is the chidush, in other words, at least we can now identify a chidush of sorts. So the chidush of this is because kishen is not mevasha. And therefore, it could be less than the kizayis, you still make a motion.
Is that Ramban Shitaso by Shabbos?
That Ramban doesn't like that pshat?
Yeah.
Well, the Ramban, he asks a different question. The Ramban has numerous questions on this pshat in terms of the whole Hemshach HaGemara, which we'll have to deal with in just a second. Because everything we said now is after reading one line of Gemara. The Gemara goes a step further and says, so somehow or other there's a machlokas here on another count. But then the Ramban says, Bar min dein, afil v'kli she'ini she'ina mevashel, hecha efshe d'lo bai t'risa d'nahama. No, the Ramban, well, okay. But he asked that question. The Ramban says, even if it's not mevushal, you need to reset the Nahama. The Ramban assumes that there's no priest in Nahama here, so then if there's no priest in Nahama, then how can you make hamotzi? You need to reset the Nahama even if it's not mevushal. Maybe because it's shorui. But I don't know if the Ramban would, Pashto's Ramban is saying, he says, loshen mevushal, loshen shorui. Not because you always need to, it's not even if it's just ground. It's because shari is simply, it's no worse than shari here. Okay. In any event, that's all, these are all possibilities in terms of why you wouldn't make hamotz. But this has to do with Teresa Dinahama and possibly Kezais. Now, let's look how Tosis phrases the question. V'imtoma hechi mairi. Im yesh lema lefanav, ha'aminan b'samach, dekul yalma shlema adif. So Tosa says, well, maybe the issue is something else here. The question is priority. In other words, when he says make hamotzi, we're not necessarily saying a chidush in terms of this itself, that you might not make hamotzi on this situation of hasanum v'ka'ara. It has what it takes to make hamotzi. But not necessarily will it beat another piece of bread or a loaf of bread that's right here at the same time. So maybe the chidush of Rav Chia has to do with the fact that you can make a motzi on this past snum b'ka'ara, even the makom that there's also a shlema in front of you. So hechi mairi, im yesh shlema lefana, farmina b'samuch, dekuyam shlema adif. So we have an amid beis that clearly if you have a shalem, then you make the bracha on the shalem. Not on what's a half a loaf. And this is clearly cut. That's the definition of tsnuma. I imagine, again, Tosus defines tsnuma like we saw in the Ramban. That tsnuma means cut. Nu, the ileka elet tsnuma. And what are you going to tell me? So there's nothing except this. So at the end of the day, hechi polga l'Rav Chia, how could Rav Chia argue, because Tosfos, the Gemara is going to say a minute later, Rav Chiya disagrees with Rav Chiya Barashi. How could Rav Chiya disagree? Hamaskin le'el pibur napi she'en ben kezayis mevarachin alei amotzi hov ispo tuisa din aham. So what does Tosfos mean to ask? That there can't be any makom from machlokes, that the Gemara is going to say that anyone argues on Rav Chiya Barashi, that Rav Chiya would disagree if after all you can make hamotzi on pirurin. But Tosfos says what? Hovil v'ispul Teresa din aham. Now, what does it sound like from Tosfos? That Teresa din aham is a requirement when? Across the board. Tosfos say, what about Marak? And Tosfos is assuming that since he views not meaning, and here too you have Teresa din aham. That's what Tosfos would suggest. So in Tosfos, even setting up the kasha, Tosfos' assumption was that there is Teresa din aham. And Tosfos says, What's the point of this disagreement? And what is Rav Chiya Barashi coming to tell me? If there's a Shkei Mulafana, we should make on a Shkeima. And if there's no Shkei Mulafana, how can there be anyone that could disagree? After all, we hold that you have to Tzinam, you make a Motz. Maybe Rav Chiya Barashi could be telling me that, but how can Rav Chiya disagree? It's been foolish before. Okay, so we don't have yet a full mahalach in terms of what could be the point of Rav Chiya's chiddush, Rav Chiya Barashi's chiddush, but we've introduced various possible scenarios and various considerations that may have to be factored in to justify the hamotzi. But the only thing that maybe we could say as far as a chiddush is what we saw from the Ramban B'Shem, the Gaonim, that there's a chiddush here that it's not called bishul. But more than that, we don't really know what would be exactly the chiddush that you make hamotzi. But that was the phraseology of the din, that you make hamotzi on this pasnu bekara, which means any one of these three scenarios. Oh. But now the Gemara gives us more insight into what's going on here. And that is because we have to consider something else within this whole picture of pas. And that is a notion called bitsiya. There's a premise that's a given, that the Gemara doesn't really tell us where it comes from. There's a lashon of the ra'ah, when you get there, you try to get that lashon and find it. Where he gives you something of a hesber and what bitsiya is, but other Rishonim don't really tell you. But there's a notion called bitsiya sapas, which may or may not be agreed to by everybody, but clearly there are those who make a point of emphasizing that bitsiya sapas, and it's important to therefore determine when to do bitsiya. Bitsiya is the actual cutting of the bread. To do bitsiya, the pashtus means that it's a shalem, and then you cut the shalem. One could perhaps entertain the possibility of bitsiya also within something that's not a shalem, as long as it can be cut into smaller pieces. Right? So the notion of bitsiya certainly has what to say if you're talking about a pas that's shalem. That's clearly what you're doing. You're making it now no longer shalem. The notion of bitsiya also may have relevance. I say may have because one could perhaps debate this issue, but it may have relevance if you have a piece which is not a shalem, but it is can be broken into small pieces. Where can you not have bitsiya in a case such as here, where it's already, again, at least to read the Ramban, it's defining tsenuma, it's already cut up so fine that you can't really make it, you can't make it small, there's nothing to do, you can't do bitsiya, whatever is, it's already in it already has been cut. And again, Rav Chiya Barashi says you make hamotzi. Zok de Gemara upliga de Rav Chiya. That statement of Rav Chiya Barashi that you make hamotzi in pasnum bekara, that is in disagreement at odds with Rav Chiya, who said Dam Rav Chiya. He said halacha regarding bitsiya. And what did he say? Tzarich shetich le bracha im hapas. What does it mean? Tzarich shetich le bracha im hapas. That the tichla is going on, the tichla bracha, the bracha of hamotzi has to conclude together with what? With the pas. Meaning that what? That the pas is still whole until the end of the bracha. But at the end of the bracha, that's when the bitsiya is taking place. That's what these words ultimately suggest. Tzarech shetichla bracha im hapas, the bracha of hamotzi concludes with the pas, that it's shalem, and then it's being cut at that point. simultaneous. The end of the bracha is the betzia. Rashi. So what does that mean? It's outside. So what does that mean? That means that Rav Chiya Bar Ashi, who said you make hamotzi and pass numa b'ka'ara, would not seemingly agree with Rav Chiya. Why not? Well, clearly there's no betzia going on at the end of the bracha in the case of Rav Chiya Bar Ashi. Let's leave Rashi aside for a minute, and all the other pshat. You can't have a betzia already. It's already been cut to the nth degree. Okay. And Rav Chiya Rashi says you have to do betzia with the end of the bracha. So what does that mean? That Rav Chiya who said that would disagree with Rav Chiya Rashi and say you don't make a motzi in the case of pasuk numa. What would that imply? That which Rav Chiya said you need betzia at the end of the bracha is not just a din lechatchila to do betzia, but it would mean that it's ma'akev and hamotzi. Is that what the Gemara is saying? Why do these two things not square with one another? True, there's no betzia going on. Period. In the case of Rav Chiya Barash, so there's certainly not a betzia going on at the end of the bracha. There's no betzia. Period. Okay. But what did he say? He didn't say that you don't have to do betzia when you could. He said you make hamotzi. No. So would Rav Chiya say you don't make hamotzi because you couldn't do betzia? Betzia is ma'ake. Is that the pshat? Alternatively, let's see, what else could we say? Tosef. Don't jump to Tosef yet. No? What else could you say? Either you make Rav Chiya, it's Rav Chiya and Rav Chiya Barashi, we're both saying, I think confused. Rav Chiya Barashi, by the way, is quoted in the Rif as Rav Chiya Barashi Amar Rav, so it's really Rav who said, Pasnu Bikar. Rav Chiya Barashi Amar Rav said, you make hamotzi on this creature called Pasnu Bikar, right? Rav Chiya says that there's Alacha Bitsia, which is to be done in simultaneous with the conclusion of the Bracha of Hamotzi. Those two dinim do not square with one another. Why not? So one way to think about it is because Rav Chiya, who said there's a din of betzia at the end of the bracha, is saying that if you can't do such a betzia, which is so critical to what you have when you make hamotzi, then you can't make hamotzi. That's a radical, radical shita to say that, to read that to Rav Chiya. He didn't say v'ikuvena say sar shetich. The Ramban raises the possibility and knocks it down. So the Ramban is very important, although it's hard because it's hard to do everything together, but the Ramban puts that out as a possibility. When you go through the Ramban, you'll see he raises all these different possibilities in terms of, so what's the machlokes exactly? So does it mean Rav Chiya is saying that betzia is li'kuva? Aitache? Okay. On the other hand, what could we say? On the other hand, not that Rav Chiya is li'kuva, but Rav Chiya Barashi is speaking on what level? If you don't want to make Rav Chiya b'diyaved, you can make Rav Chiya Barashi l'chatchila. So that's another way to do it. In other words, what is Rav Chiya Barashi saying? That what you may do l'chatchila is short-circuit betzia. You can dispense with betzia. In other words, what you may do, or either that, or somehow qualify this as betzia, one or the other, but somehow you don't need the betzia l'chatchila to be b'shas gemar bracha. Because clearly, whatever betzia took place over here, again, leaving Rashi aside for a second, but according to the other pshatim, the bread gets, memela gets separated, either from the water that you spilled on it, or that you put into the bread into the water, or that you first cut it up, but clearly you didn't do a real betzia b'shas bracha, that's for sure. Because it's only after the fact that you're making the bracha. So maybe Rav Chiya is saying, not just nevarach and amotzi, but one mele chatchila, do this, and make your hamotzi after going through this process of doing the betzia of sorts in the way you did. And that Rav Chiya would not accept. He says, no, we want there to be a shalem in the beginning of the bracha and a betzia taking place at the Gemar bracha. And that's what pleaded Rav Chiya. Now, that approach you will see l'chore in the Rashban and the Rabbeinu Yonah. No, in the Rush, rather. In the Rush and in the Rash. But Rabbi Yoni is sort of like interesting, a combination of Tosis and this. But the point is that what did Rav Chiya say? If you purposely did what you did to cut it up for the sake of what you're going to do afterwards and eat, that's good enough. That qualifies as Bitsia. Bitsia, therefore, can be prior to the bracha. Doesn't have to be B'shas HaGmar bracha. And Rav Chiya would say, no. If you have a shalom in front of you to begin with, don't do this. Don't put it into pieces and then worry about eating it later. No. Do Bitsia with the Gmar bracha. And that's a pligid Rav Chiya. That's another way to think about it. So not that Rav Chiya is B'dieved, but Rav Chiya Barashi is L'chatchila, and that's against Rav Chiya.
What exactly would that mean, L'chatchila? How else could you have gone about it?
You have your, because you have your bread. Doesn't say it's stale now. Rashi, leave Rashi out. Rashi says kasha. We Rashi, leave that for a second. It's bread. And now what do? You cut it up. You cut it up before you made a bracha. And you put it into your dish. And you can do that and make a motzi. But Rav Chiya would say, no, that's not the way you make a motzi. Wait, the way you make a motzi is you have a shalem, and you start your bracha, and when you finish the bracha, that's when you're cutting it. You don't cut it before the bracha. That's the machlokes. Now, would Rav Chiya agree that if you already had such a situation, already came to you like this cut, you'd make a motzi? Sir, that Rav Chiya would not deny. But see, it's not going to be ma'akev in making a motzi. But the answer is, if you had the other option of making hamotzi and doing bitsia if you make the bracha, that's what you should do. And here you had another option. And Rav Chiya Barashi says, no, I don't care. You can do it this way. And therefore, that shows it as a machlokas. Which, yeah.
So to say that, you have to say that this pasua is a dish that doesn't require much preparation. You need, let's say, 72 minutes. So let's say it takes 72 minutes to cook. So I couldn't be mevarech on a shalom and then be yotzei the pasanuma, because it would be a different mindset.
No, in other words, you're asking, what about the fact that it's not a shalom? That's another consideration. Shalem. Exactly what is that halacha shalem? You didn't, you know, who says that there's anything else? I mean, you didn't have the shalem now to make the bracha on. You did not make a bracha on the shalem. That's another point that you're bringing up. You're not making a bracha on the shalem here. Okay. But the Gemara's angle is b'tzia. B'tzia b'shas bracha or b'tzia kodem bracha. We'll see in a minute about b'tzia achar bracha. But that's basically the disagreement. Rav Chiya Barashi says, again, we're saying that you can go ahead and do this. Maybe that doesn't go against shalem, because it was a shalem, and this is part of the process, maybe. So you started with this, you're saying it maybe has to happen in the closer proximity, otherwise, you know, you're going to soak it overnight, and then you can't say it's the shalem here at the time of the bracha. Well, even now, you don't show me the time of the bracha, but at least it was for the sake of the eating. Okay. Either that somehow this qualifies as bitsia, or you don't need bitsia. Obviously, you don't need shalem either to some extent in that regard, right? But the Gemara's focus right now is not about shalem; it's about bitsia. Yeah, Yaakov.
Another word suggests that it's in the chiddush that it's hamotzis.
Yeah, this is the Rashba Sarachian. At the end of the day, the Rashba says, after working out all these pshat, and this is what you have to do tomorrow, the real work, look at the Rashba carefully. The Rashba lays out all these various scenarios. I mean, most of them. We'll have to see with the Ravana a little bit and the Rashba. But at the end of the day, he says, so wait. But the Lashon of Achia, the Vachno of Hamotzi. Now, that's what makes the sugya so difficult. The Gemara sets up a machokas of Achia and Achia Barashi, which has to do with the issue of Itziya. But the words of Achia Barashi seem to be suggesting a chidush in terms of Birchas Hamotzi. That's what the Rishonim are trying to struggle to figure out exactly how to work it in. Now, what does Tosis say? Tosis is another way to read it. Again, we're going to come back to Rashi, but just again, because Rashi's Chor is a separate issue that I think is different than everybody else. For Rashi, it's not cut yet. It's like it was cut. Perhaps. Something will happen immediately. I mean, Rashi says something, right? What does Rashi say? Rav Chiya says, Sarachitach Birchas Mosi in Birchas Pusa, and Apas, Vahai Paros Va'omidu. It's already Paros. Now, what do you mean, it's already Paros? Did it already separate? Rashi says you put it, Lishros, in the Ka'ara. Why is it Paros Va'omidu? The answer is because it won't take much. The second you touch it, it's apart, it's separated. So that's a very kinikilu, it's paros. So that would get that would go against Rav Chiya. Rav Chiya wants you to. What would Rav Chiya want you to do? Grab it, keep it whole, and then do the cutting at the end of the bracha. Is that shayach over here? According to Rashi. Yeah, that's the Tosfos Mishnah days. Yeah. Okay. So if you grab it, it will fall apart. That's correct. Yeah. Okay. Who says Rashi has to agree with that? You know. But why is it against Rav Chiya? Because Rav Chiya wants you to do a bitzia at the end of the bracha. And here, it's not shaykh because you're going to pick it up and it's gone. It's already partially open. Okay. Rashi doesn't say anything about whether there's anything else here. If there's nothing else here, so good. So why? So you can't make a motzi. Good, it's personal. You can't make a motzi. And Rav Chiya would say, you don't make a motzi. Again, so what's the issue? What's Rav Chiya Barashi's chiddush? So at this point, the only thing we have mentioned so far is Rav Chiya Barashi's chiddush is Yichatchilu versus Rav Chiya, that you can do this in Chatchilu. You can set it up like this in Chatchilu, even though you're going to basically not get a normal Betziah B'Shas Bracha, but that's okay. What is Tosfos' answer? There's another thing to bring in here that's not in the Gemara, but yeah, we'll work into the Gemara. Again, Manafshach. What's Tzayach HaMachlokas here? Again, we'll set up the Kasha of Tosfos. What's Tzayach HaMachlokas? Heichi Mayri. If there's a Sholem here as well, which is not stated, but it's understood that there's a Sholem here as well, so the question is, can you make a Motzi here and not make that Motzi on the Sholem, but make a Motzi on the Pasunuma? So then everybody should say that you have to make on the Sholem. Because Tanuma is cut, and this is Shalim. So how could Rav Chiya Barashi say make a motzi on the cut one? Elamai, there's nothing else here. So how could Rav Chiya, because of what he says, that you need betzia b'shas sofa bracha, but the fact remains that we know that you make a motzi and peruin abishem ben kazai. So that's not against Rav Chiya. So obviously Tosfos doesn't spell it out, but Tosfos would mean if you have Teresa Dinahama, Tosfos assumes you need Teresa Dinahama and you have it. Again, that's what you see in the words of Tosfos. You need it and you have it. Tosfos does the same thing about Marak. So I would imagine that Tosfos here would be beyond the Rach. Tosfos, it sounds like he would hold, by the way, that Teresa Dinahama is required even by matzah meal. Tosfos doesn't say there was any Marak here. I can't say for sure, but Chor Tosfos doesn't say a word about any Marak. But anyway, so you make a motzi. And but Rav Chiya Barashi said that you have to do Betziah B'Shas Bracha, which you can't do if it's Peruin. Shein Bem Kazai, so Chor you can do Betziah B'Shas Bracha. The answer is, but that's not Likuva. Okay, so then what's going on here? What's Shaykh HaMachlokes? V'yeshlo Maris Falos. Kigon De'ika Shrei Melefanav. You have, besides this Pasanuma, you have another whole loaf. And still, Ubatsa Menatsnuma. Is it ubat sam and atznuma, or what does it say? The road selif so he changed it to right. The road selif so ubotzea min atznuma. In other words, you desire the tznuma. That's what you want. And now the question is what? Can you make the bracha of hamotzi not on the shleima, but on that which you desire more? Rav Chiya Barashi savar dahavi kimo shleima. This Pasanuma is no worse than Shlema. It's like Shlema. Why? Because whatever Maila Shlema has is negated or neutralized by the Maila that the Pasanuma has because you want it. And that's what you desire. Ne'achashi chaviva nevarchala. And therefore, what? Therefore, the fact that this is chaviv can outweigh, counterbalance, the fact that the other ones are shalem. And therefore, if Chiya Barashi says, go ahead and make a bracha on the chaviv, make a bracha on the pasanuma, even though there's a shalim here, but nevar, again, what does it mean, bracha motzi? Not a halacha minei uvei by its first self. It means, you know, make a motzi on this, and you don't have to worry about making on the shalim. Make it on this and not on the shalim. That's what those reads in the Gemara. Again, that's not how we would imagine the words are saying, but that's what those has to say, to work out the sugya. So there's a shalim, and you make on this because it's chaviva. To which Rav Chiya Svirle, no, he says, what is a halacha? Tzara shetecha bracha in my pas. because it's halacha b'tziya that has to therefore take place together with the bracha b'tziya ma bracha, then kain b'inan shetichla bracha b'tziya sapas. So the bracha has to conclude with at the same time that you're cutting the bread, ima pastosis must be read as b'tziya sapas. Not that as the bread is whole, but with the b'tziya comes the end of the bracha. Either way, it means the same thing, that the bracha is concluded simultaneously with the b'tziya. And therefore, the kavish b'tzua kodim lachein, since this pasenuma that you happen to like more than the shalit, but there's another drawback that it has, namely, what is it missing? It's missing the tzia. You can't have the tzia b'shas bracha here anymore. It's already been done before the bracha. Therefore, lachein shtei ma'adif. So therefore, Rav Chiya will say because of his halacha b'tzia b'shas bracha, therefore, the kihai gavet is a shalim. You make a nishalim. Because if you make a nishalim, why are you going to be able to be mekayim? What halacha? B'tziya. If there was no shalim, he wouldn't tell me not to make a hamotzi and a pasenuma. Certainly, perun kazais, or any other kazais, you make a hamotzi. Three shidunam is sufficient. But the makam shalim, so you can't say make a senuma because after all, you want that, because after all, the senuma is not going to have b'tziya b'shas brach. So make a nishalim, which will allow you to mekayim b'tziya b'shas brach. So now we have a whole new dimension, right? Not that the machlokas is l'chatchila, can you do this and circumvent the b'tziya b'shas bracha? That's how again we'll see in the rush, like that. Tosfos says it's in the case where there's a shalem. Must you make a nishalem? Why would you have to make a nishalem? After all, the other one is chaviv to you. And apparently the default is chavid and shalem, Tosa seems to be saying. The default seems to be to make on what? If it's chavid and shalem, the etzem, separate from any other consideration, what seems to be the default there? To make on chavid, which is why Rav Chiya Barash says make on the chavid, because that's what you want. But says Rav Chiya, no, but there's another consideration that doesn't allow you to make on the chavid and beat the shalem, but you have to make on the shalem because it has an edge over the chavid mitzad acher, namely b'tziya. That's what Tosfos comes in. Okay, these are issues that are going to play on the days in terms of chavid and shalem, which is the sugya for the days. But meanwhile, all this gets inserted into the beginning of the sugya according to Tosfos. An assumption that there's a shalem here, again, which you don't see in the Gemara, and therefore, and another assumption that if you have chav and shalim, that the etzem chaviv would be shalim, were it not for the fact that in this chaviv, you don't have that opportunity to mekayim b'tziya, b'shas bracha. So that's where Rav Chiya would say, no, you have to make on the shalim, because then you can do b'tziya b'shas bracha. And what does Rav Chiya Barashi hold vis-a-vis b'tziya? What would seem therefore does he hold?
Not as important as
B'tziya, well, is it because chav? No, is it that what it is? He doesn't look at B'tziya as any big important thing. That's what it would seem. Now, for him, B'tziya is a...
Is it zero? Or
B'tziya doesn't really... It's a zero. For all we know, it's a zero. Yeah.
But either way, it's a zero or it doesn't play a role because when it comes in contact with chav, so...
Well, again, it's not that chav beats B'tziya. No. That's not what it is. Chavid beats shalem, and that again, in theory, everyone would accept. But for him, b'tziya is not really—it's not really essential. That's what it would seem. For Rav Chiya Bar Ashi, b'tziya is not essential. And for Rav Chiya, it's essential that you have to do it b'shas brach, and therefore, that's why in this case, l'mashal. Let's imagine you had a case of a shalem and a big piece of a prusa, which is not shalem. So here it's not so simple, but let's just imagine ourselves. So now, what would Rav Chiya hold in this case? You want the prusa. This is really the sugya on the base, to some extent. But based on what we know right now. But you want the smaller piece. Or you want, I mean, it could be, whatever, it could be bigger or smaller. You want the piece that's not shalem. It's chaviv to you. No, in this case, can you do, is it shaykh b'tziya? So what does it depend on? What does this issue really depend on? Does the musug of b'tziya really apply to a bread that's not shalem? So you ask us, what do you think? Why not? You're cutting it. No, but maybe not. Maybe part of the yesod of Betzia is the fact that you take a shalem and you make it into a half. But when it comes to something which is not a shalem, so what is Betzia already? Maybe. We have to see more about this. Pashtas Rishonim are seem to suggest that there is a notion of Betzia by a prusa as well. If so, then Rav Chiya would say, okay, so then Chavi would be shalem, because he could do Betzia regardless. Again, that would have to be investigated further. But that's how Tosa seems to play out the issue. So you have Chaviv, you have Shalem, and you have the question of Betzia. What is the purpose of Betzia? Again, we haven't really clarified so much. What exactly is this mysterious notion of Betzia? What exactly is it? That Rav Chiya maybe takes it very seriously, or Rav Chiya Barashi doesn't. Is it a function of what? Is it a function of the bracha? Well, Rav Chiya Barashi seems to see it somehow as a function of the bracha. It's the Shas bracha. In any case, so this is what we have thus far. What comes now in the Gemara? Rav, maskif lo Rav. Yeah, now Rav comes and is very upset with Rav Chiya. Rav Chiya said, "Sar shetichah bracha emapath." Rav Chiya was in disagreement with Rav Chiya Barashi. Chiya Barashi says, "Pastum bekara makes hamotzi." Rava is upset with Rav Chiya, and how does he? And he's going to ultimately say that Betzia takes place not imapath, but afterwards. Okay, because he doesn't like the fact that at the end of the bracha, it's going to be cut. Therefore, he wants it to be a hole throughout the bracha. No? Stop for a second before we see any words in the Gemara. So what would Rava imagine should be the halacha in Pasuk Numa B'Tahara? Let's take Tosis and Shabbat. Does he agree with Rav Chiya Barashi? Or he certainly argues with Rav Chiya Barashi? What, he agrees that you make hamotzi and not on the shalom, you make on the pasnul bekar, that you can't do the siyah? You're saying it's more, in other words, he argues. Yeah. He certainly argues. In other words, Rava takes the siyah to the nth degree and says it has to be post-facto, post-rav. But certainly, if you don't have the siyah in a real sense, and you can't do the siyah now, certainly. And the upshot of the rush, that it means that you chatchil went and did this and didn't really do it, so certainly Rava would take it. But isn't that odd then? What does Rava do? Maskif la Rava. Rava is now challenging Rav Chiya. The Gemara just got finished saying that Rav Chiya is in disagreement with Rav Chiya Barashi and Marav. Comes Rava and he's angry with Rav Chiya. He says, look, Maishnat Snuma Delo, why do you hold that Snuma is not good enough? Why do you, Rav Chiya, disagree with Rav Chiya Barashi and say that you can't make a bracha of Hamotzi on Snuma? Let's imagine because it was a shalim there. So what's missing? Why not? Mishum dechikalya bracha prusa kokalya. Because when the bracha ends, it's ending on a prusa. That's why you don't make a bracha on Snuma, because the bracha is ending on a prusa. It's true. Not only is it ending on a prusa, it's starting on a prusa. But that Rava seems to sort of ignore. But bottom line, it's ending on a prusa. That's clearly what's bothering you, no? So ala pas nami, so even on regular pas, which is whole, kika gamra prusa gam. Eloma Rava mevarchach kach butzea. So therefore, because Rava's point is that it has to be, that it has to end on a whole loaf, the brach has to, therefore don't do butzea till after brach. And therefore we have now a new shita with regard to butzea. Now, do yavdi kirav chia, which means that they made Betzia b'sofa bracha, v'rabban avdi k'rava, that you did Betzia after the bracha was finished. Amravina, Amraliyem, Abuch Avit k'rav Chiya. His father died young, and the mother told him what his father's hanhaga was, to do a Rav Chiya, to do the Betzia b'shas gemar bracha, the Amrav Chiya, tzal shidich bracha b'pas, v'rabban avdi k'rava, the hilchasar b'sishu k'rava, the Amrav Baruch HaKabotzea. Fine. So we have a whole debate, whether we follow Rava or Rav Chiya. But Rava brought out his shita, that Betzia should take place not b'shas gemar bracha, but after bracha, by challenging the logic of what the problem is in Snuma. And at the end of the day, what? Rava certainly disagrees with Snuma. Isn't that strange? And furthermore, ask a stronger question. What else should bother everybody when you read this Gemara? And what did Rava say? That the problem with Snuma, what's the problem with Snuma? That it's not ending, the bracha is not ending on a whole bread, it's ending on a prusa.
So what
is that the issue? So say a simple difference. No, it's more than that. The end of the bracha doesn't bother Chiyah. As long as you started the bracha, you started the bracha on the whole, so the betziah takes place b'shas gemar bracha. But the problem is in Rav Chiya Barashi was that there was simply no betziah that took place, that came together with the bracha at all. There was no overlap at all. Maybe Rav Chiya's concern is that there should be some overlap, that the betziah should come simultaneous with the bracha, and the bracha and the bracha started when it was whole and ended when it was cut. So that Rabbi could not recognize such a possibility. Rabbi simply overlooked. I mean, Elamai, Rabbi clearly there's a difference there, right? Elamai, Rabbi holds that the Svara is that you need a whole bread, a whole loaf, b'shas gemar bracha, and b'tia can only be afterwards. So then Rabbi needs to bring Maishna Tznuma below. Rabbi should just challenge Rav Chiya head on and say, it doesn't work for you. You're starting with a whole bread and you're ending with a half a loaf. It shouldn't be that way. You should start and end with a whole loaf, and then b'tziah should be afterwards. But instead, Rava builds his case. What does he say? Maishna Tznuma Delo. Why is Tznuma a problem for you? Why can't you allow make a bracha on Tznuma and rather make on the Shalem instead? Or why can't you allow you to do Chatchila the method of Tznuma because of what? Because of Kalia Bracha Prusa? No. Not because of that, because of a maschal of bracha prusa. The Rava just sort of assumes it's because of kalya bracha prusa, and then says here too. From Tznuma you have no raya. It's simply that you hold that you need kalya bracha apas. So then say that. What does Rava need to bring Tznuma as trying to build this case? He doesn't have anything there to prove. There it's different. There yet the beginning was on a whole of. Is Mamash a pal in the Gemara? No? What's Rava doing? Does Rashi say anything? Aprusa kalya, kevin da amrit, imprisas aprusa tichle, is mai chashivusa umaya hanisa. In other words, since you yourself are saying that together, the bracha ends together with cutting, so then what chashivas do you have? You lack any chashivas. So what have you gained? So again, couldn't that kasha have been raised separate from Chiva Rashi, first of all? And the second question is, the pashtas of the sugya, it sounds like Rava is coming to defend who? Maskif la Rava. In other words, he's coming to defend Chiva Rashi. That's what it would seem. But the way that we've just read from the Rishonim, if Chiva Rashi is against Rav Chiya, he's certainly against Rava, because he lets you do the Betziah beforehand, and Rava says he needs to Betziah afterwards. We see more about exactly the tzia versus the chaticha. Mafish aprusa de kalya bracha pas shalom. Yeah.
Doesn't it seem from the Lashon Gemara that Rav Chiya is emphasizing not that it has to be shalom at the beginning, but that it's dafka at the end, you need the tzia sabas. So then it seems like that it seems like they're emphasizing completely different things. That it's not that he's going, that Rav is asking Akasha based on the sheet of Rav Chiya Bar Abba. And the idea, it seems like he's positing a completely different idea, that Shlemus is what's kashrut and not the Betzia.
It's almost like they're talking past each other. Yeah. So Maisa, if you look in the Rif says that the halacha is like, at least it's not in the Girsa, really, it's not clear, but it's the way that it may be, the Girsa of the Rif is, the halacha is like Rav Chiya Bar Ashi or Rav, and the halacha is like Rav. That means that you do betziah after bracha, and pasas nun bekari you make hamotzi. It means that Chiya Barashi only argued on Chiya, but not on Rava. That's what it would appear, again, according to one version of the Girsa Sarif. Which would suggest, as maybe you would want to read the Gemara, that somehow at the end of the day, Rava is coming to defend Chiya Barashi, not further argue and just simply nitpick with Chiya Bar. But he himself, or else why is he bringing Chiya Pasnum Bekara in here at all? See the parentheses. It's very Elma Hilchasak Chiya Barashi Hilchasak Kirava. So, Lamaisa, this pshat that we'll say over now, it's Menachas David, but it works for Rashi. It's not going to work for the Rishonim. And the truth is, if you look in the Ramban Nefurish, it's clear. The Rashi, I believe, also, you'll have to ultimately say something, but clearly Rava is against Rav Chiya Barashi. There's no two ways about it. Rav Chiya is against Rav Chiya Barashi, and so is Rava, and it's a local machlokes within Betzia. But certainly Rav Chiya Barashi is on the other extreme, that he doesn't require Betzia at all, either Bishas Brach or after Brach. But the Nachas Dar wants to say something for Rashi, and he says that within Rashi, at least, we can create a mahalach in the sugya that really Rava and Rav Chiya Barashi are together on the same page, and Rav Chiya is who disagrees. And that's because in Rashi you get a whole different picture in the sugya than maybe from the other Rishonim. Whereas according to the other Rishonim, we're talking about bread that was cut. According to Rashi, we're talking about stale, dry bread that was put to soak. Right now, if you look at this bread in the dish, it looks whole. It hasn't fallen apart. The only thing is, you just poke it with your finger and it's falling apart. But right now, the state that it's in right now, it's not falling apart. So, he says, like, bottom line, it's going to come out like this. According to Rava, that the Betzia takes place after the Bracha. So as long as you can say that you can make a Motzi, because it's called a Shalim, let's assume with the Rashi doesn't say it, that there's another Shalim here, like Tosis says. But I can still make on this Shalim, because it's a Shalim. Lamaisa right now, you look at it, it's Shalim. So you can make a Motzi. This is no worse than the Shalim that hasn't been soaked in water, because it's Shalim, right now it's Shalim. If according to Rava, Betzia is after Bracha, so make the Bracha before you touch it. And then after your Bracha, you'll take it and you'll do the Betzia. The Betzia will happen immediately. So Shalom Al Yisrael, you have a Mosi, and you have Betzia after Bracha, and that's fine. And Rava can live with the Chibarashi very well. The problem is Rav Chiya can't. Because Rav Chiya said, those words suggest not just that the Betzia is at the end of the Bracha and not after the Bracha, but it equally suggests that the Betzia should not happen until the end of the Bracha. So what are you going to do? How are you going to be able to make your Betzia on this quasi Shalem sitting in front of you in the water? The second you touch it, it already is crumbled. So what are you going to do? You touch it at the beginning of the bracha, it's already finished. Then you did the seer took place before. You do it after the bracha, then you did it after the bracha. So no. So what are you going to say? Maybe do it what? When exactly? When you cut, you could say it's simultaneous. There's a process, so simultaneous with Gemar Bracha, the Betzia took place. Here, how are you gonna define the exact second? How are you gonna? Yeshev Tzamsen, Tzarcha Bracha in Mapas. But here, it's literally, it's not like it's a. If there's a process of cutting, so you could say basically the Betzia and the the Betzia overlapped with Sofa Bracha. So basically, it was Shalem and then the Betzia and then the Betzia B'shas Gemar Bracha. That's when the cutting was. Here, the Betzia starts and finishes in one instant, and the Gemar Bracha is when it is. So what are you going to do? If you touch it a second too early, then it's not Tzricha Bracha Mapas. If you touch it a second too late, it's also not Tzricha Bracha Mapas. So you can't find the Makom for an overlap. That's how I understand what he's saying. I'll read you his words in a second. That's how I understand what he's trying to say. So therefore, for Rav Chiya, you can't have a normal situation of Betzia, Gemar Bracha for such a situation. But for Rava, you could. For Rava, you simply don't do anything until afterwards. So it could happen in a second, it could happen in 3 seconds, or 5 seconds, but Betzia is after the Bracha. So either way, the Betzia took place after the Bracha. What was the Betzia? Put your hand to it, shite, Betzia. See if it plays right now. So it's afterwards. But if it has to happen simultaneous, how can you say you have simultaneity here. And if, and again, and the point of Avchia is not just that it should be during the bracha at the end, not at afterwards, but it has to be at the end and not in the beginning. Says the Rachas David, this is mamish what Rav is going to say in the words of the Gemara. Maishnat snuma delo. Why do you say Avchia? Why do you hold that you can't make hamotzi on snuma? Why? In other words, why not do the Mitzi in the beginning? Mishum dechakalia bracha prusa kakalia. Because if you do Mitzi in the beginning, then what is it going to come out? It's already been cut. This is how he reads the words of the Gemara. No, then if that's the case, that's my point. So in your scenario, it's also going to come down to the same problem. Because kiga gamra, prusa gamra. So is there really much of a difference between if it's a prusa from the beginning, because you touched it in the beginning and it became a bitsia, or somehow at the end of the bracha, it's already no longer whole, it's not whole anymore. Therefore, you have to say that the whole bitsia is taking place at the end. Before everyone, hold your fire just a second. Let me read a little bit from it. Just let it sink in a little bit. It's a novel pshat. I'm not going to repeat the whole kash. The kash everyone hears. See, then he brings the riff. So he wants to say this for the riff as well. The riff learns like Rashi. And the riff assumes that Rav is answering up for Achia Barashi. And the riff holds that Kozman Shubi Ka'ara, before you grab it, it's called Shlema. Now, right away, maybe you're asking this question, so right away he's going to answer it. Parentheses. This is against the Tosis earlier, Rabbi Zayim Aleph, who said what? That if it's shari to such an extent that if you would pick it up, it would break, it's not called shari. It's not called that it's hard. So he argues on that. Okay. And therefore, as soon as you grab in your hand, it's already nifisa without any time. Rishum shihia. Therefore, on Rav Chiyu says, Tuchabrachim pass, but you can do mivarvakach, but say he doesn't hold, you can do see afterwards. Because he holds, by the way, why not? He says it's far, because it's a kehefsik. That we'll see on Amid Beis and Tosis Gabi Chaticha. But why would you perhaps, why would Avchi not want you to do Bitsi afterwards? He says possibly because of Hefsik. That may not be the only way to learn it, but he says Hefsik. To do the whole Bitsi afterwards is a Hefsik. So therefore, if Yifo's quoting down Brach is also no good. So therefore, Avchi Barashi cannot screw with Avchi. Because what are you going to do? In Yifo's also be Yad of Kodim Gemar Bracha, grab it before Gemar Bracha, take it from the Yad. It's an ephreses. Kodim gemar bracha. No good. It has to be, it has to break at the end of the bracha. If you make the bracha and then grab it, it's in bracha kach butzea, and then you have hefsik. Strange. Hefsik. I mean, the whole hefsik is, in this case, is instant. I mean, hard to imagine the svara of hefsik applying in a case like this. But anyway, it's in bracha kach butzea. The ein lo mar, the yochazena bigmar bracha. Yochazena bigmar brach. Dezelo yuchalasos. The kaman the take of kishayochas. He nefresses. In ke'iyach terios. Oh, the yigmar brach of akach yochzena. Then it's too late. The in yochzena ma'at kodim gmar bracha as take of tipares. Nimsa the nefresses kodim gmar bracha. So if you're going to touch it the second after the bracha, it's too late. If you're talking the second before the gmar bracha, then the gmar bracha is already, it's already preset at that point. Nimsash EF Shalios. Oh, the Dipar is called the Gemar Bracha. Olacha Gemar Bracha. V'haveng zeh. How can you give it something to be exactly that the Mitzia, so to speak, in this case you're touching it, which makes it Mitzia, is Mamish B'shas Gemar Bracha. Therefore, our Rav Chiyah Vali, the Pog Rav Chiyah Barashi. So Rav Chiyah Barashi is Rav Chiyah. Avu Rava who owes Margach Motzeya, Shafi Matzi Sava Kuchi Barashi. When, why? You grab it after Gemar Bracha. So long as you didn't grab it, it's called Shlema. So for the Rav Pashkins, like both of them. Says the Tachas Rav, that's what the Gemara means. So please let me do the Kshafi, or listen to the Gemara. The Ka'amar, the Chikalya Bracha, Aprusa Kalya. What is he asking? He's asking from the case of Pashkin Numa Dafka, because without the case of Pashkin Numa, I would have said exactly what I asked. If I didn't bring Pashkin Numa, what would you respond to Rav? Rav is going to say, what do you mean? It's not Shalem at the end of the bracha. So what would Rav Chiya respond? I don't need shalom at the end of the bracha. I need shalom when? Beginning of the bracha. Finish. What are you asking? Rav had no, couldn't stand ask a tash and svara because you could argue differently. So what did Rav need to do? He said, but man of shach, you're not gonna really have a difference here. Because now that you're telling me pasenuma is no good. Why? Because even though in the beginning of the bracha, it's a shalom, but what's the problem? Kal ya bracha aprusa. Because if you do it a second before, let's say the end of the bracha, it's already kal ya bracha, even if, let's say you didn't poke it until a few words into the bracha. So what's wrong there? Because you want that it should be kal ya, you also agree that you want the kal ya bracha should be on not on prusa. So then he says, "Alzeh makshe shabbin, ma'ishna al pasnami ki gomra prusa gomra v'atzaloma kimi de gam sof bracha beina shatiyah shleima imkin mali nifras ma'at kodem gemar bracha a little bit umali b'shas gemar bracha sof ki gomra bracha ve'en kol bracha al shleima." All right, so this is very nice, Chef Rashi, right? At the end of the day, what? The other Shalim Achorig are not going to learn this way. Yeah, they're not. What?
According to that, the Betzia is actually taking a piece off of the bread. And that's why by pas itself you also can't have it. I thought it was just like starting to make your cut.
No, that's something, again, you have to see it tells it on the days. There's Chaticha and there's Betzia. Betzia is when it becomes totally separated. Chaticha is when you, right. Betzia is when it becomes two entities. What was Shalim is not Shalim. You can have a little bit of cut, it's still shalim. That's what Tosis discusses about whether chaticha should be done before or after. Tosis says maybe on Shabbos, if you do chaticha too much, it can really become a shalim. But pashtus, you can have chaticha, it's still shalim. But the tzia is when it actually, let's say it's, I don't know, the section chalas, right? It's easy to imagine. So like, literally, you take it, when you take the section off, that's the tzia. The betzia of a case like this, according to Rashi's picture, right? That betzia is going to be literally in a second. The second you touch. Okay, the premise of this pshat is it's a shalim until you do anything to it. Even though, again, you could argue that it's really a mirage. It's not really a shalim. But no, it's a shalim. But then it's going to become
the same concerns by regular pasta.
Yeah, but that was Rava's challenge. Rava's challenge was, is there really going to be much a difference between the case here that you can't accept and every situation where at the end of the bracha, it's not a shalim anymore by the end of the bracha. So, I mean, b'zulamaisa, it's not going to be exactly the same second. In other words, what does it mean? But you finish the last syllable, min ha'aretz, it's already cut. So the same way in the case of pasenu b'kara, you're bothered by the fact that, true, you may have had some shleimus up to a certain point in the bracha because you didn't touch it until the word hamotzi. But the problem is that when we get to the last three words, it's already separated because at that point you touched it. No, and if you cut a regular way, so when you get to the last syllable of aretz, it's already cut. So what's the difference? That was what Rava used to make his point. Then the Gemara's like the words light up, and therefore Rava proved that betzia has to be at the end, and then Rava could agree with Rav Chiya Barash. Because in Chinami, you can do B'tzi in the end by poking it at the end, after the bracha. Again, this is all Mahalach possible within Rashi. But again, if you go with the other Rishonim, that Tsunuma means it's been cut already. And it's been cut so fine, and it's not Shaykh B'tzi anymore, as the Rush says. You'll see all this again, Chazir is open to Rishonim. The Rush says, begin to see the Rishonim of the Rishonim. It's been cut already, can't be cut any finer. And in the machok, betzia b'shas bracha, and then Rava would hold betzia at the end of the bracha, would agree with Chiya Barashi. How could it be? The same way Chiya cannot stim with Chiya Barashi, neither can Rava. And then, of course, the Gemara is not meduik, in the sense that Rava is not really coming to defend Chiya Barashi as much as simply ask a kashin of Chiya. But then, why does he need to bring pasnuma into this? After all, the kasha is not a kasha, because there the tchilas bracha was b'shleimus. Or not necessarily, but Tsnum, I mean, or there one could argue at least that, I mean, in the case of Chiyah, the Tzchiyah was B'Shleimus, and by Tsnum, you need the Tzchiyah's Bracha B'Shleimus. According to Rashi, you can start playing with this. According to the other Rishonim, there's a simple difference between Pasenuma and a classic case of Chiyah, namely the Tzchiyah's Bracha, which is what Kasha Nachas does. I think also, you look at it back on the side of the Rif, the Chidush Yam Shishem asked the same Kasha. What was Rabbi asking? There's a simple difference. In the case of Pasanuma, you had no part of the bracha when it was showing. In the case of Avchia, the beginning of the bracha was showing. So what's bothering Rava? So Elamai, Rava holds in Svar that you have to have Sofa bracha b'shlemus. So don't bring an Avchia Barashi here. Just ask the Kasha straight. Especially if you anyway disagree with Avchia Barashi. So what do you need to bring him in? According to the Rif, according to the Pshat was saying from Nachas David, so there's in the house. But that's only for Rashi. Only for Rashi because of his picture of the Gemara. So again, to recap, we started the whole shiur by laying out a range of pictures for what this pas tenuma bekara is exactly. And partly it has to do with the meaning of the word tenuma. Rashi and Chumash and Lishikas over here learns it a certain way. It means hard. And the issue is not about cut as much as it's hard. And then it soaks in the water. And the other Rishonim learned that it means it was cut. It was cut and either was cut and then placed into a dish with marak, or maybe there was no marak, and maybe it was put into, maybe the water itself, the hot water of the dish made it split into pieces, but it's tenuma means it was split. You have to deal with the question of hamotzi in terms of what we know about pas in general, about making hamotzi on what may not appear to be bread or may not be a shir kezayis. You have to obviously go through those hoops, and then you have to play out whether there is a twisted nama here, whether you need twisted nama, and whether this is called bishul, and whether sharia is called bishul, and all that. And then you have to get into the essence of the sugya itself, and where do you see a machlokis between Chia Barashi and Rechia? Rechia spoke about the din of betzia b'shas brach. Rechia Barashi spoke about making hamotzi on pas that you don't have the pas with the betzia on. Fine. So where is the machlokis? If betzia ma'akev, that's a chidush to say Rechia saying betzia ma'akev. That would be one way to think. Or Rechia is coming, Rechia Barashi is coming to tell me a din l'chadchila, that I can circumvent betzia b'shas bracha by doing this, and that's good enough to qualify. We have to flesh out all of these nekudos, but this is the basic approach, the basic outline. Rechia is coming l'chadchila, that we'll see in the Rush, and the Rashba brings that pshat as well. Or what Tosis brings in, and that is that it's a question of making a motzi against the shalem, where you could say chavi that way shalem, but then you have to deal with the possibility of requiring betzia b'shas bracha. Okay, and then the third tier is what we went in with Rav. And then what was Rav's issue with Rav Chia? Rav Chia says that Betzia B'shas Bracha is enough. Rav says it has to be post-Bracha. So Rav holds you need Sofa Bracha on a Shalem. But that was not the way Rav proved his point. He proved it by building off of the case of Tznuma not being good enough. And the Kash is obvious. First of all, there it's different. There's no Tchilas Bracha either on a Shalem. And here there is in Rav Chia's case. That's difficult, except if you say the Pshat Nachas David within Rashi. That according to Rashi, the whole picture is a picture of a shalem, which will become not a shalem the second you touch it, and that, in a sense, is the Betzia. According to Rava, the Betzia happens at the end, you can simply do all that at the end. According to Rav Chia, it's Iyaf Shalit Samson to be able to exactly do that, Beshas Gmar Bracha, and that was Rava's point. The Elamai, why is three words, you know, not good enough if it's shalem, because the last seven words are after the fact that it's a prusa. So if the last syllable is after it's a prusa, it's also a problem. So what's the difference? That was Rava's point, which means Rava came to defend Bechir Barashi because you could do the betzia at the end, after the fact, after the bracha. But that's the mechudish dikapshav nachas double within Rashi. But if you don't go with that, again, Rashi, because Rashi doesn't say a word about being cut as much as that being hard, and it was soaked because it was hard. According to the other Rishonim, this question still should bother us, because what did Rava do exactly? And it's clear, according to the other Rishonim again, that Rava is clearly at odds with Avchia Barashi just as Avchia was. Because either way, you're missing Betzia in Avchia Barashi's case. Again, we have to flesh out all the details. Again, take the time out, see as much as you can within the Rishonim of the Rishonim. I gave you basically the range of Rishonim. The Rush, the Rashba, Ben Uyona, the Ramban, the Ra'ah, if you get to it, yeah, that's, but it's a difficult subject, no? I think so, yeah. Sarkoen Shulchan Aruch here, this is Sarkoen Shulchan Aruch.